the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Valentine's Day, a day to show that extra special love for that loved one. But it's also a day to come with the full court press because there was a slate of games last night. But also, on today's show, I have a special guest coming on board, the A-Train. Some of you who listen to sports radio, y'all would probably recognize him. I'm going to just go ahead and give you the backdrop on him. He is station manager at ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM. He's a husband. He's at, like I said, ESPN Wichita 92.3, host of The Pulse, which you can hear from 2 to 4. Weekdays, Monday through Friday, and he's also the voice of Friends Falcons. He is Pat Strathman, who had a busy week. He was down, I do believe, last week on Radio Row. So yeah, we're going to get some backdrop on Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, something for you Chiefs fans. And I'm also, since I like to try to follow the NAIA, I'm going to pick his brain about what's going on in the NAIA. I know there's teams like Kansas Wesleyan and Oklahoma Wesleyan, I do believe, two of the top teams in the KCAC. But I'm going to get the inside scoop on Friends Falcons as well, too, because I know they have some players over there, especially their women's team. And I'm looking forward to this call. But right now, we're going to go ahead and get started with the full court press. And should he call while we're doing the full court press, we would just shift over and just pick up wherever we leave off at. But like I said, last night was a slate of games in the city of Wichita and the surrounding areas. And as always, I give credit where credit is due. I'm getting my scores off Vipe Kansas. Joanna Chadwick, we applaud you every time. For your hard work and getting these scores to us, even with some little tidbit news to let us know who did what in what game. And we're going to start with the boys' score. That's Andover Central knocks off Andover, crosstown rival. So Andover Central owns the rival this year as they come away with the 70-51 victory as Jaden Brown led Andover Central with 19 points, Jace Jefferson 18, and Brody DeGarmo 12. Brown and Jefferson each had three-pointers. Andover's Blake Rucker hit 3 three-pointers and scored a game-high 22 points. Beloit 57, Salina Sacred Heart 54, Bennington 48, El Saline 41, Cheney 59, Medicine Lodge 31, Classical 72, Gossel 45. Classical's Young scored a game-high 27 points, and Wilkie had 19. Gossel's Shrag hit 3 three-pointers and scored 19 points. Clearwater 59, Eldorado 40, Cunningham 76, Stafford 40. Down there in the Panther Pit, Derby knocked off a very good campus team 60-49. Campus erased a 13-point deficit with a 16-3 run to end the third quarter. Derby held a 48-46 lead with 3:55 remaining and went on a 12-3 run. And what I'm going to do now, I am going to take this call, as I have on the line with me from 92.3 ESPN Wichita. He is host of The Pulse from 2 to 4. You can hear it every day, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. He's also the voice of Friends Falcons. But he's been the hardest working man in radio out there in Vegas following the Chiefs. Welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, my newfound friend, Pat Strathman.
You know how to treat a person here on this podcast. You are quite the gentleman, sir. That was a heck of an introduction. I don't know if I would call myself the hardest working man out there in the biz, because let's be real, I was in Vegas for 5 days. I wish I could say all of that time was spent on work, and probably 90% of it was spent on work. But let's be real, when you're in Vegas, you got to live it up a little bit. But it's great to be with you, Anthony.
Hey, it's great to have you. But, you know, there's the old saying, since you was out there, I know you know it's so cliche, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. So 90% of that work you did stayed in Vegas, and whatever the 10% is, take that to the grave with you, all right?
See, I wish I could say there was some sort of a hangover moment of me riding a tiger and fighting Mike Tyson, but I think the craziest thing that took place was controversy at a boxing match that I saw for the first time ever, and maybe just trying to walk back to the casino by hopping on a public bus. Like, those are like the craziest things that happen. So if you're expecting the worst of the worst, me losing a tooth, getting a face tattoo, no, none of that happened to me last week in Vegas.
All I can say is, whatever you do, if you were ever on Fremont, try not to slip in a picture of one of those fake showgirls, because they would catch you and hustle you up for $20. Trust me, I've been there, done that. Got caught, busted.
Well, I was at, fortunately for me, I only went to 3 casinos. That's all I did. It was Excalibur, where the media was, the Luxor, which is the other media hotel, the other media hotel, and then the Mandalay Bay, which is where Super Bowl Radio Row took place. That's it, man. I was boring. I didn't venture out do anything, because, I mean, would you want to venture out with all those people coming to town for Super Bowl?
Man.
No, man. Lock me into a hotel room. I'm happier with that.
So what is the Radio Row experience like? I hear different radio programmers and all the different national pundits on, and what is the Radio Row experience actually like? I may not ever get to experience that, so this is my Radio Row right here.
Well, the thing is, there are over 180 media credentials that were approved just for Super Bowl 58 Radio Row. So if you do want to take this podcast out to Nollins next year, you might have a shot. Now, don't quote me on that, but I do know that you have a wide variety of media institutions that are there, ranging from TV stations to print to even just social media influencers. It's wild. It is a crazy experience. And for me, you know, fortunately, when ESPN Wichita was created, I have some incredible bosses who just believe in what we do. And it came out of the blue. I remember driving back and I got a phone call from my boss, Chad Boger, and he was like, hey, you want to go to Super Bowl in LA? And I'm like, yeah, if you need me to go. Do I want to go? Do you need me to go and cover the Super Bowl in Los Angeles? And he made it work. There were no Chiefs there at that Super Bowl, but there were still some COVID restrictions. Wherever you stand on that, there were still some restrictions that were there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really get the true experience. Everyone that I talked to said, this is really light, this is really not a very good Wednesday, a good Thursday, so on and so forth. And then we get to last year in Phoenix, not as strict with some of the COVID-19 stipulations. So it felt like it was a better, but it was in Phoenix. The waste management tournament was going on. It didn't seem like Super Bowl Radio Row was – really the thing. It was really jumping. Now this year, this year, I can already sense it was different when I arrived. And it's the magic of Vegas.
Vegas.
It's the glamour,
yep.
It's the glitz. Everyone wants to go to Las Vegas. And that's why there was a record number of Super Bowl media credentials ever in the history of the Super Bowl. And that's when everyone kept walking around and telling me, like, this is what it was like before COVID. And, you know, Super Bowl Radio Row is, it's just amazing because you're just sitting there at this table. And for us, we were near the main entrance, so I think we got spoiled a little bit. And when I say the main entrance, it's like that's the only spot you can enter in at. It's the only one. Because they're very strict security-wise. You have to go through a security process, and they go through your FBI background, you know, all that stuff, right? So you get in this square surrounded by tiny white walls, and you get to your table, and you set it up however you want it to set up. For us, table skirt, throw up a pop-up banner, all that stuff. Well, while you're sitting there, you have people just strolling on through. Jerry Rice just walking on by. Oh, hey, there's Wayne Newton. And, oh, my gosh, look at that guy over there. It's celebrity after celebrity after celebrity. Mm-hmm. And when you try to get these guys, now, fortunately for me, since this is Super Bowl Radio Road number 3, they have handlers. These athletes, these football players have handlers. And in order to get them on your show, you got to bust your tail to go and talk to as many handlers as possible to try to schedule that person. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, why do I want to, you know, give you a slot when I can give San Diego a slot or a top 40 market a slot? So you have to compete. But if you know the handlers real well and you get to build a relationship, they'll reach out to you in advance. And that's kind of what happened with me on a few occasions. And then there were a couple of them that kind of showed up out of the blue. But for the most part, 85% of that is already scheduled in advance. So you just got to bust your tail and talk to as many people as possible. And then you get ready for rapid fire interviews and hope that someone shows up on time, because
right.
odds are they're going to fall behind. It happens every single year. So how do you adjust with that on a live show? How do you adjust with that when you have a guest scheduled at 12:15 when they're supposed to hop on at 12 and they don't arrive until 12:08? So it is wild, it is chaos, but it is organized chaos. And for a lot of people in this industry, that is a bucket list item. And I've been blessed enough to get a chance to do it for 3 years now, and the last two covering the Chiefs, which that adds another layer of work to the list where these teams are staying 40 minutes away from the main hotel. So guess what you got to do? You got to hop in a bus, go there. You got to pray the bus comes back on time and you make it on your show in time. So there are a lot of moving parts and there is a lot of work that needs to be done. But, man, it is truly an experience to sit there and be like, hey, there's Tech Nine, or hey, there's so-and-so. Okay, there's Carrot Top.
I haven't heard that name in years.
Yeah, and he looks the same, man. He looks the same. He's still juiced up and probably shrinking even more. Like, he's a tiny dude, and I think he's going to get tinier and tinier as things progress. But that was an incredible experience, and that's really what Radio Row is about. There's just a buzz where, I mean, anyone can pretty much show up. And this year, Wednesday and Thursday is usually the big day. Wednesday and Thursday, that felt like the true Radio Row experience.
Absolutely. So now you're getting closer to the Super Bowl. And how much access did you actually have to some of the players, whether it was the superstar players or whether it was some of the players that just suit up? How much access did you have to them?
You get a ton. So Monday, it all starts on Monday with opening night. And sometimes when you go to opening night, sometimes the music's so loud because it is a celebration for the fans, right? It's not for media, although it is for media, but not really. The opening night has music in the background. Sometimes it could be hard. What happens is they usually have about, I don't know, I think about 10 guys that are at podiums. And the one thing that I know is at the podium, the NFL is always recording those podiums. Mm-hmm. So if I ever want to get Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce, who are going to be swamped everyone asking Travis Kelce what his favorite Taylor Swift song is, and asking Patrick Mahomes if he's going to go back to Disneyland. You know, those questions happen a lot. I know that the podium is getting covered by the NFL, so I know I'm going to have that access after the fact. So what happens is, with the other guys and the other coaches, what will happen is they'll get released and they'll just walk around the stadium. And that's when you can walk up and go, "Hey, Blake Bell, Wichita Zone, you got about 5 minutes. Talk to him for 5 minutes and get one-on-one interview with him." You can walk around like, "Hey, Felix Anadike Uzama, former K-Stater, can I talk to you for 5 minutes?" And that's how easy it is on Monday night for opening night. But that's just the start. So Tuesday, you're at the team hotel. That one, you don't have as much access. You only get podium, only players at the podium. And that can become problematic when you're having to deal with 300, 400 other media members. It's hard to get the content that you want. So Tuesday's not nearly as rewarding. But mm-hmm. Wednesday, you go out to the team hotel. You'll still have some players. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are always going to be the main guys at the podium, so don't even expect to get one-on-one interviews with them. That's absurd. It's not going to happen. But the other players, what'll happen is they'll sit down at different tables. They'll sit down at all these different chairs. They'll set their assignment. And what you do is beforehand, you just scope it out. So if I see, "Hey, I haven't talked to Drew Tranquil yet this week," I'm going to sit at this table and get ready to talk to Drew, who's also right next to Trent McDuffie. And both of them were fantastic interviews, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then after talking to people, you stand up and you go around the room and just find another empty seat, find a player who's not talking. And that's what happens on Wednesday. And then you do it again on Thursday. And then on Friday, there's no availability to media members. But I probably did, out of the north of 40 interviews I did in Vegas, somewhere between 40 and 50, a good chunk of them were one-on-ones with Chiefs players, which you don't get a chance to do that. You know, that's even if we had regular access in Kansas City where I can talk to these guys, they only go to the podium. And sometimes you talk to them in the locker room, but usually in the locker room, they usually go, "Eh, I don't want to talk," and you can't talk with them.
Right.
Here in this setting, you get a chance to talk to everyone, even guys like Andy Reid's son, who's not a premier coach in the organization, but wouldn't it be great just to talk with him one-on-one, just to get a background of the Reid family and, "Hey, how have you transitioned in this role?" The access is pretty unlimited for the most part, outside of a few little blips here like on Tuesday, on Friday. But everything else, 3 days worth of one-on-ones, it's always a blast. And that's what I learned in Phoenix. It was the same exact thing in Vegas. And it was great. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. So now you get to the game. And there's a lot of buzz in the game. You couldn't have scripted it no better. But what everybody is talking about more than anything, they're talking about the Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And social media just really blown up. Even on Facebook, I got some friends on Facebook, and he put a perspective on it, and I came back right along, because everybody for some reason wants to spin the race card. I'm like, this goes to show you people do not look at football enough, because that kind of stuff goes on all the time. I'm like, why come y'all not talking about Rashee Rice getting into it with Patrick Mahomes, who's the franchise quarterback, the GOAT? So what did you make of the Andy Reid, Travis Kelce interaction?
All very overblown, which is pretty common. Yeah, I think people search for those moments. And people aren't bringing up, I mean, Chris Jones was ripping the entire defense after a slow start. So that stuff happens all the time. And it's just knowing the players.
Right.
Like, just look at Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is an ultra competitor. And he understands how much time he's got left. He wants to feel like he's invincible, but he knows that his time is running out in the NFL. I wish a guy can play until he's 52 years old, but that's not the reality.
No.
The reality is you might have another couple of years. And what if this is his last chance at winning a Super Bowl? What if this is the last chance he can go out there and make a difference for his team? And Andy Reid is one of those guys who I think is just such a perfect kind of a calming force, if you will, because everyone wanted to make a big deal of Eric Bieniemy last year and how much he blew up that guy. So he brought the energy. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now this year it's Matt Nagy, who's not that type of guy. Matt Nagy is a little bit more reserved. Well, when you have Andy Reid looking at Eric Bieniemy, looking at Matt Nagy, he understands he has to balance that as a head coach. So Andy Reid, he laughed it off. I know he said that he needs to get stronger, put on some more weight so that way Travis Kelce doesn't push him. And even Kelce apologized. Kelce said that wasn't the right move. Kelce knows that wasn't the right move. But when you're playing for a chance to make it a dynasty,
right,
you want to be on the field. You want to be the guy on the field all the time. And for Travis, it's only going to get worse going forward. Your percentage of snaps that you're going to get every single game is only going to continue to go down as you continue to get older. And that's just the Chiefs trying to protect your body. But sometimes we're in the heat of the moment, and this is when you can tell, have people played sports or have people not played sports? You can tell real easily by how people are reacting.
Right.
Yes, you need to respect your coach, and never will I go up to a coach and push anyone, right? I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what was going on there at that moment. It was Travis Kelce seeing his team turn the ball over and going, well, son of a gun, I should have been out there. He should have called a play for me for a touchdown.
Right.
I get that part. It's just the ultra competitiveness of players, and it happens. It happens all the time in sports.
Absolutely. Now I want to kind of shift things around, because the one thing that intrigues me, because I try to also keep up with the KCAC and the NAIA standings, and you are the voice of the Friends Falcons, but mm-hmm. not only are you the voice, you also have to keep in tune with the standings of the whole conference. But yeah. Now I noticed, and you could help me out with this, because the women, they had a game, and I do talk women's sports. Just recently had an interview with Coach Chadwick down there at Derby. He's on my podcast. Great guy.
Nice, good.
He has a great team. I want to see that team do good, and I want to see a good matchup, hopefully between them and Heights girls. I think that'd be a game for the ages for the state championship. But Friends, they got some pieces I seen on that women's team, and there's one, and her name slips my memory, but she could be player of the week almost every week. Only reason she don't win it, they have to give it to some other players so they can, feel like they are participants, so to speak. But they just recently came out on top of their battle with St. Mary, which was a battle for the ages. And this team seems to be humming on all cylinders. What can you tell me about them, and how far can they go as far as making a tournament run?
Yeah, what's incredible is last year, they were able to make a tournament run to the KCAC championship last year. And they did it without one of their top scorers for this year, and Raylan Gardner, who's a sophomore now, but in her freshman year, she played the first semester. Everything looked pretty good with a group of seniors, seven of them to be exact. And then Raylan Gardner, ineligible for the second semester, happens very often at the NAI level. And when that happened, Friends struggled. Friends had some difficulties just trying to pick up wins, but they made the KCAC postseason tournament and got all the way to the KCAC championship, where they would fall to the St. Mary Spires, who went to the NAI tournament. St. Mary brings back a whole heck of a lot of talent this year under third-year head coach Andy Kelly, who is a terrific coach. He lost some talent from last year, but he brought back a good ton of it, though. Paige Penley, Tanae Sims, Alanis Delgado, they have a lot of talent back from a season ago. So going into the game on Saturday, you have Friends circling that one for a while, because you have Friends, a team that's won 10 in a row, and a St. Mary team that has only lost once in conference play, and it was in overtime to Tabor, who is right now atop the conference as the only team with one loss in the mm-hmm. KCAC. So, and the styles are so different. You have St. Mary, who relies on the dribble drive, the kickouts for wide open threes. They lead the conference in 10 made three-pointers a game. They shoot it so incredibly well. Excuse me. And then you have Friends. You have a little bit more of a slower team, and that's because you have Taylor Jackson, who is an anchor in the middle. She's a double-double machine, but she's not known for being able to go out there and guarding a player who can go off the dribble drive, although Taylor's done a pretty good job of faking handoffs lately and going to the rim when she's 10 feet away from it, which that's crazy to think about, but that just shows you the development of Taylor. But when you look at Friends as a whole, they lose that key group of seniors. And Dean Jaderson had two decisions as a head coach. Do I go out there and get freshmen, which you're always going to key on freshmen and try to develop them? That's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I go and get a couple of guards from the JUCO ranks and win a championship? And he looked at his roster and said, you know what? Let me go out and get some of these players. So he goes out and he brings in a Lauren McIver, who came in as a shooting guard. And she now is the point guard. And she, not too long ago, set the modern era record for assists in a game for Friends University women's basketball. She does everything so well. She has progressed so incredible. And she's the one that hit the step back three to put the final nail in the coffin against St. Mary this past weekend. And I never would have thought that she would have made that, because Lauren McIver's not known for her three-point shooting ability, but she just balls. She just makes plays. And she doesn't turn the ball over all that much. And then you have Corey Babcock, who comes in from Neosho. Mm-hmm. And Corey, this year, has been a little bit up and down, but I think she's really developed as a defensive player, which is something that Friends is going to need. And then they had another transfer come in from Southwestern Oklahoma State in Trinity Johnson, who's a Division II transfer, but she recently got hurt. So going into that game against St. Mary, they didn't have their full arsenal. They didn't have Trinity available. She suffered an injury at the very end of the Bethany game. She was in a big knee brace, and you're thinking, oh boy, this might not be good news. They still beat St. Mary anyways, and that's because of probably Taylor Jackson that you're thinking of, but also Raylan Garner is the sophomore who is averaging 17 points per game. She is incredibly active on defense. And the best part about Ray is she never seems to know like how many points she has. She's always even keeled. She had a 30-point game against York, and she went to the bench, and she was asking Coach Jaderson, hey, why was I out there so long? And Coach was like, because you were close to 30 points. I wanted you to get the 30 points and call it good. She didn't even know that she was close to 30 points. But that's what makes this Friends team so much fun to watch. And then they have some other role players too. Cassie Kinneberg is a big-time senior. She played remarkably well against St. Mary. She had 9 points, 9 rebounds, and every single one of them were big and really good on the defensive side. They have a gal from Briarcliff University at the NAI level, Jaden Glasgow, who might not be quite the shooter that you would expect, but she is very pesky defensively. They have a Tia Hagen, who's in her second year, who's still adjusting. Sadie Hotman, not really a bang around the basket post, but if you leave her open from beyond the arc, she'll can one. And then they have 2 3-point specialists in Ashton Ryall and Ellie Munns. So they were able to put together a nice roster, and now they've won 11 in a row, and they can dictate what it's going to look like going forward. If they went out, one of those wins would be up in Hillsboro against Tabor. Okay. They already knocked off St. Mary. If they beat Tabor, that's 3 teams with 2 losses in the KCAC, and then comes down to tie-breaking rules, and a 3-way tie is never the easiest way to decide a regular season champion. But I do believe this Friends team, they have gelled so well. And the scariest part is, Anthony, all these girls can come back.
That's the
scary part about all of this. They're having this much success, and they're going to be able to all return, because a lot of them are juniors that will convert to seniors. We'll have some sophomores that will make the jump to upperclassmen. They got some real potential. Dean Jaderson has done a terrific job, and I've known him for a long time. He was the head coach at Sterling for men's basketball, ended up not seeing things out there, so ended up going to Friends to be the women's basketball coach. And it's been fun to watch that program grow, because Friends not too long ago had back-to-back years of being one of the more dominant teams that you've ever seen.
Oh,
and now great. I think now they're back to being a true force in the KCAC.
Well, Pat, I want to thank you for spending some time. I'm coming up on a quick break here. But next game, Friends Women takes on who, and where's it going to be at? Because I want to get there.
You better run quickly because it's down in Winfield.
Winfield.
Hurry up.
Okay.
Take it on Southwestern. That's what they have coming up. But there'll be some other games too. They have one more home game left, and it's against Avila. I believe it's the final Saturday there in February.
All so right, then.
Definitely trying to make it out and catch them. And the Friends-Miss basketball team, I know it's been a rough season for first-year head coach Phil McClintock, but they are much improved as well.
They got a lot of
local flavor, so we'd love to see you there.
Well, I will definitely make it for that last home game of the season. I will be looking for you there. So, I almost called you coach. Pat, once again, I want to thank you for riding on the A-Train.
I'm 6'7", man. Everyone thinks I'm a coach when you're 6'7".
All right. Well, thanks once again for being on the train ride.
I appreciate you.
And we'll be right back after a word from my sponsor, so don't you dare go nowhere. The train is just now building up steam.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Hey, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Hey, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor of the state's number one podcast. I'll tell you what, if that first segment is any indication, this is going to be a blast today. Happy Valentine's Day! You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith, once again. Special thanks to my guests in that first segment, Pat Strathman of ESPN Wichita, 92.3 FM. Here on weekdays, 2 to 4 on the Pulse. He's also the voice of Friends Falcons, and you heard him put in a good plug on that women's program. Why you need to get out there and support. Yes, you're liable to see me out there. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to get back into the full court press. So basically, we would just start where we left off at. So last recount was Derby knocking off Campus 60-49 as Campus erased a 13-point deficit with a 16-3 run to end the third quarter. Derby held a 48-46 lead with 3:55 remaining and went on a 12-3 run sparked by Jack Ewelling hitting 5 of 5 from the line, and Mason Anderson getting a steal, layup, and 3 of 4 from the line. Ewelling had a team-high 21 points, hitting three threes, and also getting three steals. Teammate Caden Franklin had 16 points and 16 rebounds. And Anderson finished with 10 points, 4 steals. Campus's Kaysen Thomas scored 31, hitting 13 of his first 19 shots, and 10 points in the fourth. Andrew Burton had 10 points, 8 rebounds. Other scores, high scoring affair. Went to a basketball game and track meet broke out. Eisenhower, 86, Valley Center, 77. Ellsworth, 44, Southeast Saline, 33. Garden Plain, 50, Douglas, 18. Ouch. Goddard, 52, Salina Central, 49. Halstead, 62, Lions, 60. Haven, 45, Heston, 38. Hayes, 54, Abilene, 47. Right here in the city of Wichita, coached by the legendary Steve Eck. Capon, 83, Wichita Southeast, 55, Brooks Powers. There's another Powers right there. Scored 19 points for Capon and had 9 rebounds, 9 assists. So he was just short of a double-double by one each in the rebounds and assists category. Kingman, 50, Chaparral, 42. Mays, 75, Arc City, 33. Charles Sharp and Allen Hanna each scored 11 for Mays. And Davin Hynot had 10 as 11 Eagles scored. Mays South, led by Michael Cates, knocked off Hutchison, went to Hutchison. Let's get this right. Went to Hutchison, knocked off Hutchison by the score of 60-48 as Michael Cates and Sam Kemp each scored 18 points to lead Mays South, which out-rebounded Hutchison 32-16. Hutchison's Jay Lewis had 17 points, Terrell King 15. I just want to put a plug in here. I know some of these people are going to hear this, and that's the whole idea. I want to be heard. I believe that Michael Cates, the point guard for Mays South, I believe he is a special talent. And I know he's getting offers from some of the smaller schools here in Kansas. I think Southwestern, they have sent him an offer. But I actually had the chance to see him in person. And the one word that epitomizes Michael Cates is leadership. There's a reason that Mays South is undefeated. The coach, the coaching staff, but then the collection of players that he has on the court. And it starts, I believe, with your point guard. I think Michael Cates is a special talent to where not only can he go to Southwestern or wherever he decides to go and could make an immediate impact, but I also tend to think that he can play even at the higher level, Division I. And I think it would be a smart move on Wichita State's part. This is just my opinion now, to send this young man an offer. I know they got TJ Williams, and I know they have another young man who's a point guard coming out of Texas. But in today's era of basketball, I don't think you can have enough point guards, and you definitely can't have enough leadership out there. And I think Michael Cates would be a good fit at Wichita State University. Moving right along, McPherson, 63, Bueller, 21. McPherson's Kyden Thompson scored a game-high 17 points with 4 assists and 3 steals. Gabe Powell scored 13 with 3 steals. Owen Powell had 12 points. Corey Mueller, 10 points, 6 rebounds. Mountain Ridge, 43. Sedgwick, 32. Creighton Knitz scored 13 of his game-high 19 points in the second half for Mountain Ridge. And Crumrine had 15 points to lead Sedgwick. Mulvane, 73. Winfield, 54. Rose Hill, 58. Wellington, 32. Salina South, 61. Newton, 60. Wichita Collegiate, 47, and Dell, 36. Carter Drumright and Sebastian Hines Turner led Collegiate with 12 and 10 points. And Dell's Michael Bratton had 10 points. Wichita Heights, 70. Wichita North, 25. This is something I expected to happen after that upset loss to Southeast last week, as Heights Jalen Timmons scored 15 points, Malachi Wilkins 13, T.J. Williams 11, and Chase Robinson 10 in the win. Wilkins had 7 rebounds and 5 assists, and Robinson had 4 steals. Wichita Northwest 65, Wichita South 36. Tayshaun Williams scored 15 points, and Eli Benning and Jerome Henderson scored 10 apiece. Parker Hargrave scored 16 points for South. Wichita West 47, and I do not see the score on what East had, but West outscored East 11-2 in the final period. Now for the girls' game. Andale 35, Wichita Collegiate 6. Whoa. Andover 62, Andover Central 40. So Andover claims bragging rights on the girls' side. Beloit 34, Salina Sacred Heart 29, Bennington 43, El Saline 42, Taylan Pickering scored 16 points, Eli Lawson 11 in Bennington's win. Chaparral 59, Kingman 53, Cheney 73, Medicine Lodge 39, Circle 47, Augusta 34. Kaya Thornton had a game high 17 points for Circle, hitting 3 3-pointers. Ella Bourne scored 14 for Augusta. Clearwater 55, El Dorado 26, Elizabeth Jayden scored 14. Justine Berlin, 12, and Allison Clevenger, 11, in Clearwater's win. Cunningham, 47, Stafford, 19. Derby, 75, Campus, 23. Derby's Destiny Smith scored 13 points, hitting 3 3-pointers. Michaela Askew, their sophomore sensation, scored 10, and 11 of 15 players scored. So once again, you can tell by the score that defense was ratcheted up an extra level. Matter of fact, there's a game that would be of intrigue to me, and I'm pretty sure we might get the privilege to see this game in the state tournament because we're in the month of March, and you know what comes up next. The madness starts. I could see a game between Heights and Derby, which would be a game of the ages. Flint Hills, 51, West Elk, 39. Paige Quarter scored 29 in the win. Garden Plain 56, Douglas 38. Gossel 49, Classical 46 in overtime. Gossel was led by Sawyer's 18 points and Shoals 17. Classical's Flannery Black had 19 points, Nevy Wilkie 12. Halstead 50, Lions 19. Hayes 53, Abilene 27. Heston 58, Haven 14. Sienna Dufresne had 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks for Haven. Teammates Avery Bronner scored 14, and Sydney Holtzrichter had 4 assists. Capon 58, Wichita Southeast 33. Mays 45, Arkansas City 30. Mays South 38, Hutchinson 35. So that was a sweep. Mays South, Aaliyah Singatat, I hope I pronounced that right, had a game high 16 points, and Skylar Seals had 10. Hutchinson hit 12 of 25 from the field, and Grace Posh led the way with 13 points. McPherson 56, Bueller 33, as Jayla Thompson scored 14 for McPherson and had 5 steals, and Carter Alvord and Ellie Bauer each scored 10 points. Rihanna Elbridge had 8 rebounds. Mulvane 37, Winfield 27. Salina Central 38, Goddard 23. Salina South 49, Newton 31. Southeast Saline 49, Ellsworth 36. Southeast Saline was led by Lexi Jacobson 13, Maddie Harris 12, and Abigail Pearson 10. Valley Center 45, Eisenhower 32. Wellington 65, Rose Hill 22. Lindy Barton had 19 points. Kirsten Gregory hit 4 3-pointers and had 15 for Wellington. Drew Zika added 3 3-pointers. Heights 58, Wichita North 12. Kennedy Jackson scored 15 for Heights. Wichita South 54, Wichita Northwest 23. Zion Butler scored 21 points. Rayma Kennedy 15 and Nesant Robinson 10 in South's win. Kennedy hit 3 threes. And there were also some scores from Monday that got put in the print as well too. As Circle beat Winfield 39-30, Circle's Kaya Thompson. Thornton had 10 points. Moore scored 10 for Winfield. Southie Celine 62, Ellenwood 31, as Lexi Jacobson scored 16, and Brielle Potosik 14 in the win. And those are your scores here on the Full Court Press, bringing you all that information. Matter of fact, there is something else that I want to give you, because I think the time has been far spent, and there are some more high school basketball that's going to be taking place. So I want to give that to you as well too. That way, it'll give you more options. There is a hoop fest, so to speak, that will be taking place. I want to make sure I get this information to you. If I can pull that up, because there's a lot of basketball action coming our way. And I am going to get you this information. And here it is, right here. It is the Air Capital Hoop Fest, showcasing high-flying basketball talent in Wichita. And it goes as follows. So get ready to witness high-flying action in heart-stopping shots at the second annual 2024 Air Capital Hoop Fest. The hardwood of the Garvey Physical Education Center is set to sizzle with the talents of top-tier high school basketball teams as they go head-to-head in a showcase of skill, agility, and school pride. This electrifying event tips off on Thursday, February 15th, 6 p.m., and doesn't let up until the final buzzer sounds on Friday, February 16th at 6 p.m. The Garvey Physical Education Center, located at 2100 West University Street in Wichita, Kansas, will be the epicenter of the basketball universe for those 24 hours. Three Wichita powerhouses, Sunrise Christian, Visit Wichita, and the Wichita Area Sports Commission, have joined forces once again to bring this event to life. The Garvey Gymnasium on the Fringe University campus will play host to four of the nation's elite high school basketball programs, all vying for supremacy on the court. The lineup is nothing short of stellar. Hometown heroes, Sunrise Christian Academy, will be sharing the court with Link Prep Academy from Branson, Missouri, Veritas Academy from Los Angeles, California, and Wasatch Academy from Mount Pleasant, Utah. Each team is bringing their A game in hopes of walking away with the title. Don't miss out on the chance to see tomorrow's basketball stars today. Mark your calendars, bring your cheers, and prepare for a showcase of pure basketball talent at the Air Capital Hoop Fest. It's more than just a game. It's a celebration of sportsmanship, potential, and the unifying power of basketball. So that's what's taking place at the Garvey Physical Education Center. So you have your area basketball games, and you also have the Wichita Hoop Fest. So get out and enjoy some basketball starting tomorrow and ending on Friday. Get out and enjoy and support these young men. I plan on making it out to some game. I don't know which game it's going to be, but I plan on making my way to a game as I find these games to be more and more entertaining and more energetic. And you see the passion that these young people play the game with. They play the game the right way. So I tell you what I am going to do. I am going to go ahead and bring this train into the station. Hope you have enjoyed the train ride as much as I have enjoyed being your conductor. But until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. There will be another ride coming up this weekend. But I want to say also to my wife in advance, well, today, happy Valentine's Day. She also has a birthday coming up too. So I want to say in advance to her, happy birthday. And instead of looking older, she's like a bottle of fine wine. She just gets better with time. Anyway, baby, love you. Happy Valentine's Day. And in advance, happy birthday. So until the next time, take care of yourself and each other and enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day. I'm out.
Today's podcast was sponsored by The Glass Man, located at 4411 West Central. Chip, crack, or just plain broken? Bring your windshield by The Glass Man.